Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
657 AM, radio for believers in action.
It is 657 AM, and family, be reminded that now you can list your business on the radio website. Packages on our brand new online business directory start from as little as 1,500 per year. Yes, per year. Register now to receive pre-launch discounts and added value in the form of jingles and an interview on radio. Will you partner with Radio Pulpit as a trusted brand and reach more than 400,000 loyal listeners? Send an email, my family, with the word register to gospel@radiopulpit.co.za, and we will contact you. It is a heart to heart, and the time is 24 minutes just before 2. And I am now joined by Pastor Lisiba Lihodi, and he is from Second Chance. We've been talking about anger management that developed to something else, and now we are looking how we started looking at how anger can even substance abuse can lead to anger, and so we are now dealing with a partner and supporting a partner who is a recovering addict. Muruti, how are you doing today? Did I hear you cough?
You heard me cough before, but not now. No, I'm doing well.
Yeah, I'm like, did I hear a cough?
No, not now.
And you're doing well, Muruti?
I am doing super, my man. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Welcome yet again today. And we are back, Muruti, talking about supporting your spouse who is abusing substance. Again, can we just, rope in somebody who hasn't been there with us last week when we were starting and talking about this and how anger and substance abuse are intermarried, kinda.
Yes. No, so the first time around we dealt with anger and what anger does and how anger comes, or rather where anger comes from, and you know how it grows to someone who's been using substance and how substance enhances their anger as well. You know, and we also dealt with how substance abuse affects relationships. And how, or rather the things, we listed a number of things, diagnosing in a way, issues like your financial difficulties, extramarital affairs, psychological wounds, trust issues in the relationship that are caused by substance and both anger as well. And we also talked about how alcohol can impair judgment, how one can, out of anger and resentment, create an atmosphere that leads to conflict within the household, you know, and the experiences of abuse or potential sense of abuse, how they need to be seriously taken into consideration, where one should not say, no, they will stop. It's just they were angry, you know, where we're saying you need to take those things very serious, you know, and also having to talk to rather professionals when you start seeing such behaviors that are from anger. And we also mentioned that if anyone who feels that they are in danger because of an abusive partner, they should also seek help immediately from legal authorities. Yes, and it came from that where it leads us today to be dealing with supporting now a partner without enabling them.
Before we even supporting a partner without enabling them, I'm thinking that most of us look at alcohol as something that is innocent. We want to relax, and that's how it all starts. And you find that both the couples are taking some of it, and they never think that one can go to an extent of being dependent of this on this thing or addicted to this thing. Most people, when they start, they think they can control it. Let's look at that part before we can even talk about enabling a partner, Muruti, because I think it's wise. Okay, maybe I'm wrong, because some Christians would even send me to the Bible to talk about alcohol, to say Paul mentioned that you need a little bit of that, you know. So they might call me to order. It's fine, but I'm thinking that, Moruti, isn't it better to refrain, not to start at all when it comes to taking substances like alcohol?
Substance is always the best. And I agree with you. We should not even be experimenting or trying or whatever way they can justify the taking of alcohol. You know, I've had some saying, but you, when you have a cough, you are going to drink cough syrup. It has alcohol in it. And I'm saying, look, we can justify taking a drug into your system. But now we have to be honest. There are still people who are addicted to cough syrup. Does it mean it's right? No. So we need to be very careful when we're dealing with that, because when we just refrain altogether from abusing substances, we are putting ourselves on a space where we will not tomorrow be under, you know, the master or the lordship of substance. Because once we take it, once we go, you know, saying, you know, it's good for the heart, as you know, all these other medical things that they say, without telling us the dangers of our livers being affected, the dangers of our kidneys being affected as well because of substance. They don't say that. You know, I normally say whether alcohol is packaged as wine, is packaged as beer, the damage is the same. So, because we deal with these people, we see them, you know, in their sophisticated kind of abuse. So we are saying abstinence is always the best key when it comes to substances.
Sure. So sustaining is easier, because I remember I met somebody who was testifying about him coming out of being of the addiction of alcohol addiction. He was fighting that for years. He lost parts of his businesses. He lost cars. He lost houses. By God's grace, he regained again, but it was a struggle. And so God helped him and delivered him. And he says, you know how I started? People don't know. My wife introduced me to this. You know, my wife was just saying, let's relax. And I took a sip. I didn't know. He says, where I come from, we only experience the alcohol that is bitter. I didn't know that there was sweet alcohol as well. And so when I tasted that from my wife, I couldn't go back and I was stuck, you know? Yeah. And so sometimes we try. I mean, like December is just around the corner, Moruti. Some are going to try it for the first time because we are in a relaxed mode. We are celebrating. Festivities are in the air. Dr. Paul Coupe yesterday was saying, I went to the stores and I found it's already Christmas in the stores. So the spirit of celebration is already there. It's preparing people for that. Yeah. And somebody's planning, you know, this year I'm going to do that. We even have our young ones who are writing, who are also at home. Some are listening to us right now, preparing for next week. Some, they're in tertiary preparing, but they are home and they can hear us talk. And they've seen friends doing it when celebrating their final exam paper. And then the celebration, there's a party and there's drinking and everything. And somebody is feeling like, this year I'm going to do it. And so we're saying, don't even try, because you might find yourself unable to return from what you are putting in your mouth and your body, what you're introducing your body to. But can you pick up as a person, are you able to can tell that I'm that sort of a person who can get addicted to things? Can you tell?
I think we all know ourselves, and by nature I'm an addict in this manner. Once I go for something, I go all out. I don't want to do half a thing. You know,
there's a go-getter. We call you a go-getter.
Yeah.
Perfectionist.
Yeah, you want it, and if I want it, I will make sure that I get it. So if you have those kind of tendencies where if something is you get yourself into it, if you commit on a thing, you know you're not going to refrain or to, you know, go half-heartedly so. You know yourself. You know that one experiment is one too many, you know, because you'll you'll be picking it up. It will be just for occasions. Now it's going to go for every weekend. The balaz will be taken out on Monday. So if Monday I was not satisfied with taking the balaz, then it's Tuesday. Now you are now beginning to have a habit, you know. Now and then you are coming from work, you just drink when you come from work. You are growing into it. But you see, the enemy does not tell you that he is, you know, killing you slowly. You know how we cook a frog, woman of God? When you cook a frog, you don't put it in boiling water. You pour it on normal water. You just increase the temperature, just slowly, up until it's too hot. And when the frog realizes I'm being cooked, it's too late. That's what drug addiction does to us. You start off being in control to a point where it's too hot, you can't come out. The only way out is for you to go deep into taking, whether it's alcohol, whether it's hubbly bubbly or normally known as hookah pipe, whether it's that or it's cigarette or it's any other drug. You start off small and then you grow into it to a place where you are no longer in charge. So we know that as our young people are finishing their writing soon, they'll be finishing.
There'll be so many parties. Remember what happened last year? They even blocked some of our tunnels here in Pretoria. Cars couldn't pass because they were they're in a celebratory mood. But be careful in that space.
Because that's where, you know, people get introduced to drugs. Others, they are spiked, and after that, they can't go back. They want more. You know, because this thing, what media has done is they've only showed us one side. I've never seen an advert of alcohol.
The true one.
Yeah, you know, they always show you this guy wearing a nice suit and just having a sip.
And this guy has money. This guy has got money, and he goes to the best holidays as well.
They advertise it, you know, as if you have this thing, we promise you, it's a license to a better life.
Not telling you the truth behind it.
Not telling you the truth behind it.
Because they should be showing you drunky, you know, somebody
who's really drunk.
Yeah, who's hit bottom rock, to say. But
but they never show you that.
It's easy for a child to get attracted to that. What makes an adult to be attracted to that?
I think it's
still the same.
Willpower.
Okay.
Yeah, and at the same time, you know, there's that thing in us where we all want to experiment with something. Others, we are just embarrassed too. But should we get an opportunity, we are going to. And that's where most are hooked into. Say, look, just, you know, eat and drink. You'll be fine. And, you know, even going to festivals, Woman of Power, just a warning to those who really don't drink and don't like drinking. To say, be careful. You know, I once visited a family where they took a watermelon lerap.
Yes.
They poured an alcohol in there. You know, they just tell you, Mruti, let's eat. You know, people are very naughty. And you want to eat. But now the smell of alcohol, I know the smell of alcohol from afar. I could tell here there is something. And that's how you need to deal with it. When you know you have that character where when you do something, you go all out. Refrain from even experimenting. Because you might not come back.
Refrain from experimenting. And I think people should stop introducing others to things. Let the person be the one who decides, I want to do this on my own, and not, you know, become a catalyst to help a person be take drugs. I was reading something from a young person who was saying, I don't know how the smoke ended in my stomach. She was admitted because she started having stomach cancer. And when they ran the tests of everything that was happening in her stomach, they found even the smoke from Hubbly Bubbly as the cause of everything. And she says, please stop taking Hubbly Bubbly because you don't know the chemicals that are in there. It's worse than cigarette. It's worse than a cigarette. And she says, I really don't know how the smoke ended into my stomach. But if I remember very well, when we're talking to doctors on these shows, they do mention that smoking can even bring different kinds of cancers. They even mentioned stomach cancer as one part, you know. So people should stop introducing people to things and people getting addicted. Now, here is a spouse, Moruti, who's addicted in the house. When you're saying that I'm enabling my spouse, what activities am I doing around my spouse that are enabling the habit?
Okay. Let me start my slide in this form then, so that I can get to your question. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. So we are saying, what is the most effective way to support a partner who is going through a rehabilitation process? We are saying offering support to an addicted partner can take a tremendous toll on your physical energy and emotional health. On top of this, the needs of the rest of the family, such as children and aging parents, and the demands of work and social commitments can quickly become overwhelming. Now, these are the enabling behaviors. Enabling occurs when one partner, usually without conscious intention, makes it possible for the other to continue drinking or using without having to face the consequences. Now, examples of enabling might include allowing a loved one to neglect their responsibilities. So that's one. Letting a loved one abuse you or someone else. That's enabling. Making excuses for a loved one. That's another one. Neglecting your own needs to help someone else. That's another one. Excuse me.
Okay. We are sitting on 8 minutes, a family, just before two. You are on Heart to Heart with me, Sibongile Mofokeng, with you up until 3 o'clock. I'm talking to Pastor Lesiba Solomon Lekgodi from Second Chance Recovery Center. And we are talking about supporting a spouse who's abusing substance. And Muruti, you were still talking about giving examples on how enabling is seen.
Yes. The last one we're saying, neglecting your own needs to help someone, that's also enabling. So how can you tell if you're a supporting partner or versus an enabling one? This gets interesting now. We are saying, if you find yourself lying, making excuses, or creating explanations for a partner that allows them to remain in denial state, you are probably enabling rather than supporting. So if you find yourself lying, making excuses for them, or creating, you know, all kinds of things just to cover up for them, you know, helping them to stay in denial, you are helping them. You are supporting the behavior. So we are saying, if you do the opposite, you are safe. Now, codependency is when a loved one is dependent on another in a partnership. So if a couple is living with substance addiction, codependent partners can end up enabling as well. So in some cases, the codependent partners or the codependent loses their sense of self in the overwhelming effort to save the partner from addiction. However, when the partner gets close to recovery, the codependent may undermine the process in order to retain feelings of power or self-esteem. Now, these are the questions we set up to say, partners and spouses, ask yourself, am I setting a healthy boundary for myself? Am I letting the people in my life take responsibility for themselves? Am I seeking help for professionals outside the home? Or am I giving myself time for my own stress management activities? Am I making time for my own recovery activities? This is for partners and spouses. But these are questions they need to check when, you know, you check whether you are enabling or a supporting partner. So if already we are having maybe a listener in the family who's going through this and you find yourself making excuses for them, lying,
you're cleaning after them.
You know, exactly.
And, you still give them money for babalas, or get them a class for babalas.
You are an enabler. You're not helping the situation. And we understand you love the person. But you're pushing
there's this part that I've heard. He is so sweet when he's drunk. He is quiet when he's drunk. He sleeps when he's drunk. And so we encourage him to be drunk so that he sleep, because he's quiet when he's awake.
You know, yesterday we were having strawberries. And if you take strawberries, you know, there's the lighter ones, you know, though as much as I don't understand the sweetness of it, but, you know, you find strawberries that are too sweet, too reddish.
Mm.
And after some time, if they continue to be too reddish, they end up being spoiled.
Mm.
You can't have them. So, if someone is sweet when they are drunk, sooner or later, the sweetness will be spoiled.
Mm.
And now, you are going to be sitting with a beast inside your house that used to be sweet. Because you are enabling them, you are encouraging them, you are motivating them to continue, you know, avoiding issues. They drink because they're from work, they're tired, they say, let's relax. Then they drink, they sleep.
One they are time sweet. Drink, according to you, they are sweet at that moment, they and they sweet. Go to sleep. Yes, yes.
And a time is coming where they will be irritated themselves, where they will not want to sleep. They just want to drink and they want to talk. They don't want that. And once you are saying, but when normally you are drunk, you are sweet, you are sleeping, this time the issues they've been suppressing for some time, they will come out. Then they will start becoming what you were not anticipating from what we call sweet. So we are discouraging partners to say, you know, don't enable them. Don't lie for them. Don't make excuses for them. You know, a partner wants to go to work and you are lying for them. Rather, they don't want to go to work. They're saying, no, man, I'm not here. I'm not
and
okay.
And you're the one
I'm
calling the boss.
Yeah, to say, no, my spouse is not okay. Lying on their behalf. You are enabling them.
And so it grows, this thing. They realize that you're lying. This Spongile is lying for me. So this thing grows. You're nurturing a monster.
And one day the monster will come out. You're helping them to be in denial. You will be saying, look, this thing is going. When we talk to the addicted one, to say, look, you're busy having this thing. One day this is going to have a negative effect on your relationship. They're saying, no, but it's not. Me and my spouse have an agreement. When I come from work, I drink. We never have an issue. Up until there is an abusive behavior, and you know, the spouse can't come back because they've been enabling this. They feel now, you know, I'm now the root cause of why my husband or my wife is lashing out or is beating me up, you know, because I've been giving them the drink. I've even brought six home, you know, trying to make it a sweet home. Now, the lying will catch up with you, it'll catch up with the family to say, but why were you lying all this time? Because you're trying to cover. You've been making excuses for them, trying to create explanations to their boss why they are like that. You say, oh, no, we feel he must go to the doctor, buying letters from the doctor, just so that we find ourselves, you know, covering for our partners.
Not being able, not realizing that you are enabling them. You are fueling the fire, so
the behavior
grows. All right, Moruti, we are going to take a break and then come back to talk to you and family. You can call in and ask your questions on 012-334-1322, 012-334-1322, 37871. Is the SMS line. Do remember that you'll be charged 150 for that. And 0826572729 is our Telegram WhatsApp line. And so you can talk to us right there. I'm streaming live even on Facebook page. And so you can talk to us there. Moruti, let's come back. Also talk and address how should you be doing this? As if one spouse is abusing substance, and you can tell that, no, if we're not getting help, we are it's going to get really bad. It's going to, now they say in today's way of talking, it's going to end up in tears. And so yeah. If that is happening in your house, what is it that you need to do? Should we be using tough love? And if yes, what is tough love according to Moruti? We are coming back.
Share the love, share the truth, share the life on 657 AM.
If you need prayer, please send your request to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za or WhatsApp 067-429-7564 or go to Radio Pulpit website on www.radiopulpit.co.za.
It's difficult to face the overwhelming pressures of life alone. Sometimes we just need someone to talk to, someone to listen to us. And what better way to do that than through a quick and easy WhatsApp text? Whether you're having a hard time coping with school, family issues, being bullied, depression, or anxiety, speak to someone who cares today. Send a WhatsApp message to 064-530-6805 or 074-995-9085. Our I Am Youth Counseling team, Charles Dudoy and Danny Vambili, are ready to connect with you today.
657 AM, streams of blessings.